These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. Well, it is a massive week for Ireland with their first home game of the Women's Six Nations coming up on Sunday. They lost their opener to France on Saturday, but certainly showed signs of improvements from last year. France scored five tries in a 38-17 win in Le Mans. Aoife Wafer and Aoife Dalton scored tries for Ireland. That losing margin of 21 points was the lowest in their last five games with the French. I'm Sinead Kazan, and I'm joined by Anna Capelis and Ali Donnelly. You're both very welcome. Anna, we caught up briefly in Le Mans before the game on Saturday, and you were there with some of your former Ireland teammates. I saw a lovely picture of you at the sideline. What was that like? And actually, Adele McMahon mentioned it in the post-match press conference after, how a few of the former Ireland players were there as well.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really great to see the girls. Like, most of us had played in the 2017 World Cup, which is actually the last time Ireland played in a World Cup, which was kind of a somber realization that came over us at one stage of the evening when we were all catching up. But it was great to see. You know, it's so hard. Like, some of the girls moved on. Like, you know, like they've got families and kids. It's so hard to get people together and see people. So it was really, really lovely. And the pictures were great. Everyone was loving the pictures, but the picture actually is a really funny moment because we were saying that was taken when, do you know, when they went to the TMO for one of Ireland's tries. And I was saying to, I think it was Nora, was next to me. I was saying, you need to run away, celebrate and run away if you think you've scored a try. I was like, they need to just turn around and run away and start celebrating. So when it came up with the TMO, we were like, all right, we know what to do now. We'll just start celebrating to, like, you know, influence the referee's decision. So we started cheering, even though we couldn't see anything at all. And then they awarded the try, and all, you can see all the French people behind us laughing. They knew exactly what we were up to. So it was a great moment. It was great crack, great to see the girls, and like a great, we really enjoyed the match as well.
Yeah, no, that's some great mind games by ye in the audience to kind of have a bit of an effect on the TMO. So what were the conclusions, Anna, that you and your former Ireland players came to on that performance on Saturday?
We were kind of picking out players like, yeah, she's great. She shows a lot of promise. She's very hardy. Loved watching her play, which was just so nice. You know, just so nice to be really excited about, you know, this crop of players coming through. And you know, although some of the tries, I was kind of making the point that, like, I really enjoyed the defensive pressure, which is all we were kind of asking for beforehand. And there was, you know, yes, but they're still left in a few kind of leaky tries, a couple of easy ones, but like, okay, fine. We know what progress means. You know, we're still, any kind of celebration we do is still kind of like, I wish it hadn't come to this, you know, and we're like, oh, this is the smallest margin, and oh, we're celebrating such a result, you know, so massively. We don't want to kind of make that mistake either by, you know, accepting that this is where we want to be, because it's not where we want to be, and we want to be better and better.
Yeah, no, of course. Ali, how did you rate that performance?
Yeah, and I think to Anna's point, there's a fine line, isn't there, between being the Ireland of old, which was happy with the moral win, versus, you know, wanting for better and remembering that we, you know, this is a national team who did much better a decade ago, but being real about where we are. Yeah, I mean, look, I think we said, didn't we, on last week that we wanted to see a much better defensive performance. We did get that. To see signs of the way in which the team were taking shape. I mean, tactically, they obviously had a plan for France, very kind of boot heavy from our 2-10s and so on. But I think they can go back to Ireland now for this weekend's game, being able to look around at each other and say, all right, I believe that we're making progress here. Because I think you need that. If you're losing games, you still need to be able to look around and say, is everyone bought into the fact that we're making kind of incremental progress? And I think they will be able to do that this week. I don't think Italy will be easy. And in a way, their game very much reflected ours in the way they performed against England. But I think we can sort of say, all right, we're starting to see signs of a shape, signs of commitment in our defence that was maybe missing at times last year. And I thought one of the interesting things I saw on Twitter this morning was last year's coach, Greg, doing a couple of tweets saying one of the things you reflect on when you leave a job is what you could have done differently. And certainly, you know, more defensive effort was one thing. And he was sort of praising that. So, yeah, I think we can be positive while being, you know, pragmatic.
Yeah. And what you make of that in terms of the confidence, I really felt it having spoken to a few of the players like Aoife Wafer and Aoife Dalton afterwards. I could sense that it was like, They were just buzzing after scoring those tries, obviously, and just the excitement with what's to come, like tangibly for a former player like yourself, once you even just put in that performance and to kind of, you know, convince yourself that, you know, that there is more to come from this team.
Yeah, and actually one thing that I was kind of on a high at the end of the game, especially because of the two tries they scored towards the end. I was really happy for them, and but when a few of them came around and a few of them came over to say hello or whatever, they were actually disappointed, which actually is also kind of important, you know, that you're not just like, God, isn't this great now? This is our smallest margin we lost by, you know. I was kind of like, okay, you know, fair play, but also well done. And I think that that's, to answer your point about what do we see? I'm seeing a lot of differences, which I like. For example, at the end of the game as well, a few of them like ran very enthusiastically over to the corner, and I was like, oh, their family must be over there or something. But no, they were doing their extra conditioning. You know, you see the substitutes or the girls who didn't get over a certain amount of time, they'll go and they'll do their runs, their shuttle runs. It's always shuttle runs. I've never seen any team do it differently to shuttle runs. They were playing conditioned games. And Scott Beamond was in there, and all the coaches were standing around, and Foggs and a load of them were standing around. Like Larry was kicking, catching. They were doing skills. They were doing like 2-on-2s, 2v1s. Like it looked really good and really exciting. And we were like, the girls who were there were watching it being like, this is great. And I was chatting to Sam Monin afterwards, and she was like, yeah, it's something that the players asked for. And the coaches were like, yeah, definitely. I thought, you know, it might just be a small detail, and it mightn't seem like it might amount to much. But actually, I liked that they're doing things differently, which is what we need. And I loved watching that. We all stayed and watched the little games. We were like cheering them on. It was great.
What else is on that list, Anna? Because it seems like you have a bit of a list there, do you, about the differences from last year?
You know what? I actually have I had most of mine on the laptop, and because I did it on the plane, they've all disappeared, which is why I'm adding to the list now, because I'm trying to remember all the things I've written down. It's always a disaster at me and the tech, but no, there's probably plenty more, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ali, as well, just to, you know, I mean, there Scott Beamond as well, it was very notable in his press conference afterwards that he certainly wasn't getting away like about that with that performance as well. But let's get into one of the major improvements, which was the defence, as you mentioned there. I have to say, though, when Bourdon went in for that first try after whatever, 2 minutes, I was like, oh my God, this is not looking good. But they absorbed it. Like they absorbed those early opening nerves. They scrambled so hard. They kept it at 7-3 for 80 minutes of the first half. You know, France got that killer try. I mean, you know, you kind of wonder if they'd kept it to 7-3, that, you know, for half time. And then they obviously got the three more tries in the second half. We spoke before the game about Declan Danaher. He's the new defence coach that who has come in. I know, look, we're kind of using last year's reference point, but this was a much improved performance from the Ireland defence.
Yeah, and I think when you get new coaches in, defence is often, that's why we talked about it last week, it's often the first way in which you can see improvement, because it's structured, you can organise it well, you know, you can explain it, you can get it technically sound. I think if you think as well about how France were trying to play, you know, they threw 22 offloads, I don't know how many more they dropped. It was difficult. It was a difficult defensive job. So they did their first up defensive work very well, but they did more than that. You know, they scrambled well. They cut off a lot of support lines. You know, the Menager try that came with a little flick from Bordeaux and Sansouz. I think they wanted to do a bit more of that and they couldn't because Ireland got in their faces. And I was really interested that France celebrated very hard at the end and put all these videos of them out celebrating, because, of course, they did win by 21 points. But I thought Ireland at times made them look a bit ordinary. They put them under ferocious kind of rush pressure. They made lots of mistakes. Okay, it's the first game. They're a bit rusty. But I think the challenge with a defence like that is, I'm not saying it's easy to go out there and do that in France, but in the first game of a new championship with a new defence coach, it's now about, like, is that system sustainable, right? Can we continue to bring that in the next few games and build on it? That's why, you know, we all revere coaches like, say, Sean Edwards, who can stay with a team for a long time and the defence is always sound. So it can't just be a super enthusiastic game defensively and then we trade off again. But there was a lot to be impressed with, I think.
What about that, Anna?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think having a coach, and obviously he seems to have done a good job and he seems to be well-liked, but having an actual designated coach for defence, having someone to be accountable to does kind of, you know, it's not like you care less when you don't have a defensive coach, but it just makes you slightly more aware of it probably on the pitch. So I think that has, not to take away from the work that he's actually done, but his presence alone will, like, you know, oh, if I'm missing tackles or if I'm not up to scratch or if I'm the loose link, I know he'll be directly on my case because that's his sole job. You know, that's important. But I thought the you know, the Bordeaux Sansouz, like, drawing the kind of the first line of defence, that's always kind of, or sorry, the first defender next to the rock when she gave the inside flick to Menager when she ran in under the post. That's really kind of, that's a thing you can manipulate a new defence with, like, do they have all their exact roles nailed down? And she obviously had that, like, she thought of that earlier. When teams start to tire or when teams are really kind of young and fresh and naive, they'll follow the scrum half to open up that inside pop, and she knew it was coming. So, yeah, I thought it was good by France as well.
Yeah, actually, interesting you mentioned that about the, you know, effect on players of having a defence coach, because Aoife Dalton said afterwards that, you know, he's making them love defending. And you'd hear this before from other players, but, like, not really as much from, you know, the players in the national women's squad. So I thought that was interesting that she said that. What else kind of, you know, before we get onto the areas that they need to improve, Ali, what else was positive for you from the Ireland performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think just on that as well, they must be will have been thrilled to get that try from Dalton, because that was a direct result of the pressure of the defence. There's nothing better as a defensive coach that you score directly as a result of that pressure. I think, you know, the individual performances of a few players, I thought Dalton was excellent. I put her in my team of the week, actually. I thought Hogan was excellent and probably, you know, didn't get as much praise because Wafer got a lot of it. But they were both very, very good. And I said last week, our line-out was a bit shaky, so we can talk about that. But scrum set piece, or front row, showed up pretty well. Interestingly, I thought that the sevens girls actually took a little bit of time to adapt. And I guess that's completely understandable because, you know, because of the differences in size of the pitch and all the rest of it. But they grew into the game. I really hope we see Higgins again this weekend, because I think she, you know, you could almost tell after 20 minutes she'd worked it out again and was starting to look threatening. So, yeah, some good individual performances, I thought was really positive.
I'm trying to see if I can find someone else, because I agree with the three players you said, Dalton, Wafer and Brittany. They're the three ones I earmarked as well. Obviously the change between Fowley and O'Brien must have been tactical, because O'Brien
tactical,
came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so because I was really enjoying Nicole's, like her first half, and you know she her big boot, and I kind of wanted to see how much she went on and found, especially with the messages from the management at half time, found a bit more space in behind, because the space in behind seemed to be in kind of the far corner, which obviously then Dan O'Brien had that message, so she was started to put them back there. But I don't know how that's gonna go forward. I thought both out halves were good and impressive and kind of drew on different things, but I hope it's not a I don't know, I just want to see Fowley have another crack at it again, because I thought she was really good. I also, kind of going back to defence again, and probably back to the point you were saying about like really enjoying defence, I thought Avian Riley, like, she was like bouncing around, like on her toes, like behind the ruck, like driving players around, bringing huge energy into the defensive line. So that's, I loved watching that. I thought that was brilliant. And I you don't see enough of it. And that's obviously another defensive point they've brought in. But she really impressed me with that as well, especially a scrum half who's like dying to get into defence. I really enjoy that from Avian Riley.
The set piece, Ali, you mentioned there, obviously the line out. It was the least successful line out last year in last year's Six Nations. They lost four of their nine line outs this time. Was it a timing issue, or what did you see that the way it broke down to? What was the reason behind it, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, because there was a few, it was difficult to pinpoint any one thing. A couple of times it looked like a throw, you know, missed throw, a couple of crooked throws as well. And that'll be a problem this weekend, because Italy did quite well in that area against England, put them under a lot of pressure. And I thought it was particularly, it must have been very frustrating for them, because one of France's tries directly came from a mistake, one of our lineouts. Another, you know, we had two kind of pressure relieving penalties went our way, kicked a touch, lost the line out. So that was hard then, I think, because the momentum just fell away and we didn't get much going in attack. And so to lose the opportunity to do so was frustrating. You know, I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the analysis this week. Jones is obviously such an important player around the park for Ireland that they'll absolutely want to keep her in there. Once again, top tackler, you know, and all the rest of it, dominant tackles as well. So I suspect that'll be one of their big, big work-ons this week.
Yeah, and it does really need to improve, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think France read a few of them. I don't know, was the movement a bit slow? Because, and again, there was also a missed jump and a missed, someone missed their lift or their jump, or there was some kind of miscommunication there. That obviously shows that maybe they've too many options and they're not repping out all of them enough, so that when a kind of a call comes in that they don't know as well as the others, they miss it. But then they need that call as well, because France have been reading them. So it's very difficult to situation to find yourself in. They'll need to just, you know, be getting their tallest jumpers up and reach the ball at the very top, hoping that you know, Italy can't defend that, even if they do read it. They need to simplify their options, I think, and just rep, and have no doubt across, try all your combinations, you know, not just repping with your starting team. Get every player in and out and rep. And like the forwards do this anyway. The forwards will meet after dinner. They'll go through it with the little sugar packets on the table. They'll use the salt and pepper shakers, and they'll be doing that, like, for sure. So just maybe reduce the number of options, have a few trigger calls so you can react to where their defence is, and just make sure that everyone has it nailed on.
Yeah, Sam Monaghan is going to be back for this weekend's game, and she was still helping them out during the build-up to this game, like in the defensive line-out and stuff. We're going to get onto the Ireland attack when we preview the game against Italy. But after Saturday's game, I spoke with the two Aoifes, Aoife Wafer and Aoife Dalton, and you know, they were buzzing from scoring their first Six Nations tries. And for Aoife Wafer, it was her first ever try for Ireland. But first, here's Aoife Dalton.
I think we've even shocked ourselves of how physical we could be, and then our scrap would be worked really well at times. I don't think they ever got around us, which is something that we can really pride ourselves on. But Deck has just really, I think, just made everyone kind of develop just a love for defending, because the reality is, for this game especially, we would have been defending for the majority of it. So
yeah. And what was it like for you to have Eve Higgins back there in the centre with you as well?
Oh, it's great. I can't complain. Sure, she's world class. I played with her over in Dubai as well, and you know, her She's a multi-threat, catch, pass, run. She can do it all. So it's great. I can't ask for any more from her.
Sure, you'd be gunning for that win against Italy.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we're definitely targeting all the three home games as winnable games. And yeah, we can't wait to play in the RDS. We're super excited to have everyone just come see us and kind of come on our journey with us.
Our mantra is togetherness, and that's what really worked for today. And we all fought to be together, and like, one person's performance is just the benefit of everyone else. Like, it's, we're all together, and one person is no better than the team.
When I saw you obviously were in the circle afterwards, what was the gist of kind of what you were saying to each other there?
We were saying that this is kind of this is the line, and like, that we're not going to back down, that we're going to keep fighting. We've Italy at home on Sunday, and we're going to bring it to them. We're going to go up another level, and more exciting stuff to come, I suppose.
Now, before we get into previewing Ireland's game against Italy at the RDS on Sunday, let's just quickly go through the other game. So after round one, no surprise, England are top of the table on 5 points, on points difference from France. Scotland are third after their 20 points to 18 win over Wales in Cardiff. That's a seventh win in a row for Scotland. England nilled Italy in Parma yesterday on a 48-0 scoreline. England scored 8 tries. Sarah Beckett was sent off after 11 minutes, and she had her yellow card upgraded to red for a dangerous clear out. Ali, England win expected, Scotland win less so, but they really are on a roll here, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm such a big fan of this Scotland team, because not just because the same group by and large and the same coaching team have pulled that team out of, there hasn't been a huge era shift here. It's the same group of people who've gone from losing a whole ton of games by a point or two into this momentum. So I love that. Second, they play lovely rugby. You know, they have really good strike runners. They try and play it wide. They play nice rugby. And I think you had real contrast in the two teams at the weekend. Wales are a different type of team. They're the kind of team you don't want to get in a dogfight with. And Scotland got dragged into that a bit. But I thought they were really impressive. And actually, of the three teams coming to Ireland, that Scotland, I think, based on the opening rounds weekend, would be the team I'd be most nervous about, because they have a couple of players who can do magical things out of nowhere. We saw it with their winger, Rona Lloyd as well, on the other wing, MR in the middle. They're good from an attacking perspective. And it was an exciting game, and they deserve to win it.
And what about, did anything stand out for me, Ali, just from the Italian performance against England, considering they're up next for Ireland?
Yeah, and in a way, it was very similar to us. They really, where they went for England, I thought was on the ground. So England thrive off, fast front foot fastball. They always have the fastest kind of ruck in the Six Nations and so on. And actually, they were slowed down very efficiently by Italy. And they also got in their faces, much like the Irish girls did against France. And it took, half an hour for England to score, which didn't matter in the end because the scoreline was the scoreline. But, they didn't roll over. I would say they offered very little in attack. Now, that's partly because they were starved of ball and so on. So it's very hard to assess how they're going to come at us. But certainly nothing will come easy against them, because they know for half an hour they lived with England. They'll be able to do that for a bit longer against us. We're not as fit or strong as England. So, a few good players, some good performances. So that's not going to be easy, that game.
Hmm. And did you get to see any of them? I know you had to fly from Paris to the States on Sunday.
No, just highlights. I think, in terms of like general feeling around Italy, and I would have had this feeling around Scotland as well, like they're such a conundrum, because they can produce like really great performances and then be so wobbly within a week. So, and I'd always be fearful then of a team that was kind of that wobbles and then turns up like a house on fire the following week. So, you just never know. Like, but I think it's great for Scotland, like, and I know we're focusing on Italy, but Scotland, I've had such like standout players, even in the Premiership for so long, like key players for some of the best teams in the Premiership, and haven't been able to like translate that into their national team. They seem to have unlocked that. I would have said the same about Italy. I don't know if they've unlocked it yet. In terms of like their own, how good they are or how good they can be and how inconsistent that is. So I don't know about Italy's consistency yet, but so hard with France and Ireland and Italy coming against each other now. Neither team had huge opportunities in attack. So actually, we're still a little bit in the dark there about what we can see from both teams this weekend.
Yeah, so just on that, Anna, what are you hoping? Because when we spoke before the game on Saturday, you spoke about, you know, you really want to see kind of Ireland score their tries in terms of the Ireland attack. And I believe it is Scott himself who's in charge of the Ireland attack. What do you want to see? Because we didn't see even the likes of, you know, Bavin Parsons. You know, she got a hand on the ball a few times the last day, but we didn't see as much from her as we would have liked. Like, they really do need to take like a big step forward in this area and a different game plan, obviously, like they showed against France.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of Bavin, what can they build? What moves can they use? What can they get in training this week now that ensures Bavin in a bit of space? Because whether she gets over the line or not, she'll punish in terms of like how strong of a runner she is. She'll draw in defenders, which will then build the next platform of attack. Aoife and Eve in the centres, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing them have a bit more time on the ball. Even like going back to Ali's point about like Eve settling into the game, she'll have, you know, hopefully have that like cracked by this weekend and be like really looking forward to a bit more time with the ball. I'd like to see a variety in tries. Like if we can get Bavin over the line, if we can see again like pressure from like the centres, like cracking through and making some like penetrating the Italian defence there. But if we can get a forwards try off a maul or even a scrum, like impressed by their scrum, what can they kind of drive one over the line if they win that territory? I'd love to see that, a variety of tries.
Yeah, I think it's hard to know or analyse what we might see, because there was obviously, you know, is the kicking game, he clearly asked Nicole to go out and execute. Was that for France only? Or does he want us to play like that? And I think because we played like that, we couldn't get Dalton had to go looking for the ball, right? So we couldn't get her, Eve or Bavin, into the game very much because, you know, 9 times out of 10, she sat back and kicked the ball in the first half. So I think, you know, I don't know what our kind of strike intentions are because we didn't really see it. And one of the really interesting things is, like, if you look at the stats after the game, so we get delivered all these media stats and they always give you top five players who did each thing. And in the kicking, there's only three players in the kind of who kicked the most for it, because we only really have one kicking option, which is R10. So Lauren Delaney kicked a couple of times, but largely it was Fowley and it was O'Brien. So we're going to have to, if we're going to play a kicking game, we're going to need more than one kicker. Fiona Coughlin and I were texting about this morning. It's a bit predictable. And after a while, France just knew where to step. I mean, yes, we cleared our lines, but we just invited the defence back onto us kind of constantly. So I'd be just interested to see, you know, it's a bit of a waste of Dalton and Higgins not to give them front football or first phase ball. They weren't getting any of that. Anything Dalton picked up, she went and got, in fairness to her. So I'd love to see a bit more of that, just to see some face play, because if there was any criticism of the England, you know, attack that Scott was looking after, he was there, is that sometimes it did become very structured, highly patterned, etc. You know, so let's see a bit more, you know, first phase ball moving into our midfield or out to the wings, and let us assess it then, I think.
Yeah, interesting. And Anna, just on that, and I know you were talking about Nicole earlier, will we know a lot by which 10 he picks for this game? Because Nicole had, you know, took on a hell of a lot in France. And then we know that, so if there is a different approach, will that just depend on as well what 10 he goes for, if he will go for Nicole? And who do you think he should go for, Nicole or Dana?
Yeah, it's hard to know. But they're both such strong kickers. I don't know if the selection of either of them will signify if it's going to be less of a kicking game or not, because, you know, the messages were clear for both of them just to continue to pin back the French. I'd love to see, you know, it was disappointing for Dana to be kind of carrying an injury coming into this, because I was like really gunning for her. I am still obviously really gunning for her and the momentum and what she learned in last year's Six Nations, and just to keep carrying that on. But I really enjoyed Nicole, and I thought she was, I thought she had really nice energy. And like I was saying that before the match, you know, she's such a strong leader, and like nothing phases her and nothing scares her. And she would have been a good voice on the pitch. So maybe it will be you know, do you continue with the momentum you finished with, or do you start the same? I'm not sure. And that's a conversation that that Scott will, maybe it's a headache for him. I'm sure it is a headache and a good problem for him to have as well.
Who do you think they should go for, Ali?
I always felt like O'Brien was kind of the future in a position where we've never, nor Stapleton apart. This is, 10 is always a place we've struggled to have long-term kind of sustainability in. So for me, she's, from what I have, I'm not watching the club game week in, week out, granted, but she, to me, is the player who's probably going to give you, you know, the all-round kind of package. But at the same time, I did think Fowley was very good. And I did think her kicking was very helpful. So it just depends how he wants to play. I would, you know, you said it was tactical, the swap. My thinking was that maybe it's because they both haven't played a lot, but I'm wrong. What did he say afterwards?
Yeah, no, he did, because like I just wasn't sure. And I was so surprised to see that she was taken off at halftime and that Dan O'Brien was starting. But he did say, yeah, he wanted to give them, each of them game time. So, and he explained that it was a tactical decision. So it seemed like it was one kind of made obviously before the game as well. So you can kind of see it from that point of view. It was just that I just thought Nicole was doing so well that I was just didn't kind of see that one coming. So as I said, the game is on at the RDS. The last time Ireland played here was in 2022, and that was the time when they had a record attendance for a standalone Women's Six Nations game in Ireland with 6,113 at the RDS. Anna, you're just kind of hoping that the crowds kind of will come out. We saw the crowds that were there. You saw it in Le Mans. There was 15,559 at the game there last Saturday. The French, as they always tend to do, you know, make a lot of noise. So, you know, you do hope the attendance for these Women's Six Nations games, you know, takes a step on as well.
Yeah, it needs to be, like, for me, I was down in Marseille for the first round of the Men's Six Nations, and obviously then was lucky to be in Le Mans as well. And I felt like they were treated as, like, the same. Like, the pyrotechnics, the flames, the fireworks, the halftime entertainment, the French band, like, it seems like holding it in the same regard as the Union, like, transcends then into, like, the fan base. And if you hold the same respect for, you know, the event, then people will see that. Like, it needs to not be, you know, I had this conversation actually with people at the weekend. People are always very envious of the support in France. Why don't we have that in Ireland? Why isn't that a thing in Ireland? Why is it that, you know, we bring in buses of school kids, which is great, but also, you know, where are the normal rugby fans that are there in France? Like, why don't people come to Ireland and say, oh, I'm envious of the fan base in Ireland? You know, considering how much we love sport in Ireland, that needs to change. That frustrates me. I want the same thing for sport in Ireland. And, you know, I don't know. There's been some, you know, I've seen some online campaigns about like the women's game, but like even in France, the flyers were on the trams. There was posters everywhere. Like they just... The French are really good at ramping up the excitement around, and you can see that, you know, in the fans that turn up to the game. Then I want to see the same for Irish women's rugby.
Yeah, but like I agree. I mean, the French are almost an unfair comparator to everyone because they always do it so well, right? But we should learn lessons from them though, because there's a heritage there around the way in which they treat their women's program. Exactly as you say, you go to. I remember going down to Bayonne a couple of years ago to England France, the last game two seasons ago, and it was just, the build-up was just so spectacular. I mean, it was just a really big rugby day, you know. It didn't matter who was playing, but yeah, look, I think for Ireland as well, like, I'm not just saying this is about Irish fans, but people do get behind teams who are winning, and there's no two ways about that. There's been a negative kind of environment in and around that team for a few years now, and that turns fans off, especially casual fans. And so let's just see, you know, we get a win. Hopefully we can go down to Cork against Wales then, where you really need the crowd. And I think with Ireland going to Twickenham, you know, there will be a big crowd there. They've sold at least 35,000. I wouldn't be surprised if that heads towards 50. Wouldn't it be great if they could just kind of experience a taste of that this year themselves and not just have to go to France and England to get it, you know?
Yeah, and actually, even outside the RDS, during the Men's Six Nations, I did see kind of posters promoting the women's game, saying this was going to be on here from kind of few months. So there have been promotions done there. So just on predictions then, I mean, Ireland really need to take a step forward as well, don't they, now this weekend? They haven't won a kind of a Women's Six Nations game in whatever, 2 years since that win over Scotland in Belfast. Ali, can they do it? And, you know, and what are your hopes for Sunday?
Yeah, they definitely can. I think that the thing that would worry me, I wrote about this today actually, is, you know, momentum counts for quite a bit. And Italy, you know, they beat teams in and around them at WXV too a couple of months ago. Ireland beat teams much lower ranked than them. So that's why I think Scotland are doing so well, because they're beating teams around them and they carried that on. So I would worry in the last 5-10 minutes, if it's close, nip and tuck, or we're a little bit up or down, that Italy would know how to win. You know, this Irish team, the core of it, have kind of lost their way with kind of remembering how to win tight Six Nations games. That said, we can absolutely win. We're at home. We defend like we did. We show a little bit more in attack. We can score against this Italian team. So my heart obviously says Ireland. My head says if we win it, we'll be very tight.
I'm going to go Ireland as well. I think this is the biggest opportunity they have for a win at this level in a very long time. Almost because of Italy, you know, putting in, you know, similar to Ireland, like Ali was saying, like, really putting England under pressure and really like big defence and not showing much of their attack. Will that then, has that ground them down a bit, whereas have Ireland got this kind of excitement? I'm going to go Ireland. I think, I'm going to put my hat on Ireland.
I was going to say, I wouldn't underestimate either. Parsons, Riley did play very well, but it took her, she got harried a couple of times very early on. And in fairness to her, she got into it. It can't be easy going from 14 players on the pitch to 30, you know, at that level. So I think now they've got a game under their belts. Hopefully we'll see those three again. Even, you know, they'll have just kind of adjusted a little bit better. And they're three star attacking players. So, you know, that should go in our favour, hopefully.
Okay, great stuff. We will see how it goes. Ali and Anna, thank you very much for that. We will be back again next Monday to review Ireland against Italy at the RDS. Thanks for listening.